This afternoon at Bonvenue Bank, and I want to thank all the great people out here for inviting us out to come here and do our show and be part of this ribbon-cutting ceremony, and we'll be talking more about Bonvenue Bank. And I just, you know, I remind you that competition is a great part of the free enterprise system. And sometimes you can be with a bank or any business, you do business with someplace for a long time, and they take you for granted. So it might be a fresh new start for you or your business to move your accounts to Bonvenue Bank. Now, this used to be Citizens National Bank. They have been in Metairie, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge. Now they're changing the name to Bonvenue Bank, and they've got this new innovative mentality and attitude for, you know, people with checking and savings accounts and businesses that want to do business and do loans with the bank. This might be a great opportunity to open up a relationship with a bank that is really increasing in the area of service. And so you might want to just check it out. It's not going to hurt you to just come by and check it out. So we're really happy to be here, and I want to thank everybody with Bonvenue Bank for inviting us out. And we're at the grand opening of the brand-new location at 2000 Belchase Highway. Jennifer Parrish, council member, Jennifer Van Franken, Rankin was here, along with Cynthia Lee Shang. And Jennifer Van Franken came in and said hi, and she had a lot of fun with me posting the picture of her in the Trump dress. That was from that event, the Singing Trump, the fundraiser for Billy Nungesser at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And she had this really skin-tight Trump dress, and she really looked awesome. And, I mean, she was in public, so it's not like I was sneaking a picture of her. So, I took a picture of her and posted it, and she had a lot of fun with it. And she read your comments, and that is still posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. All right, so it's the day after the election, and Donald Trump won a convincing victory. 270 electoral votes to win. Trump hit 277. And this happened in the very early morning hours. Kamala Harris only got 224. Trump, surprisingly, and this is for the first time since George W. Bush did it in 2004, Trump won the popular vote. 72.5 million. Excuse me, 51% to Harris's 67.5 million, 47.5%. One of the things that we're waiting for, I don't know, maybe it has happened and I've missed it because I'm here on location, but Republicans own the Senate. Who's going to own the House? I think we still have to wait and see. But Trump is back in the White House, and by 10 o'clock last night, the map of the United States started to look like 2016 when Trump won the election. And I was convinced by 10 o'clock last night that Trump was going to win. Giving credit to Trump for winning the election, a fair election, and America has spoken, and I accept that. The loss by Kamala Harris raises questions. First of all, the Democrats have to figure out who the hell they are. You can't win by being the party that isn't Trump. That's not a political strategy. And it didn't work. Harris proved that you have to be more than that. And she didn't. Harris had weak answers to pointed questions. Her refusal to completely divorce herself from Biden's policies and legacy really spelled doom for her campaign. And as I said countless times on this show on WWL, that the Biden administration failed to give the American people the feeling that they were doing anything about the border. And the image of illegal immigrants pouring over the border was a horrible image, and it worked in Trump's favor. The Biden administration gave them that campaign issue. And by campaigning in the shadow of Biden, Harris owned the border crisis. Biden gave Trump that issue. While Americans and many conservative Republicans have benefited from a booming stock market under Biden, the everyday issues of higher prices at the grocery store and at the pump were real-world issues for average Americans. The border and the economy were winning issues for Trump and the Republicans. I hate to bring this up, but when you think about America as a whole, there is a possibility that gender and race were factors in Kamala Harris's loss. We can talk about how evolved we all are. We can talk about how much we don't judge based on race or gender. But the truth is that many Americans are not that evolved. Many Americans still may have a hard time with a woman, especially a woman of color, in the White House. As a patriotic American, I find that really sad. But I think it's a reality we can't ignore. And I think it's going to take younger generations coming up and gaining control before that changes. In spite of all the ridiculous things that Donald Trump said and did on the campaign trail, he still represented the best hope for enough Americans to make him the winner last night. I talked about how absurd it was that Trump might declare victory early. He didn't do that. But I also talked about how ridiculous it was for Trump to declare the election was rigged and there was voter fraud before the election happened. Because I said, what if he wins? I mean, should we think that the election was rigged? Should we think that there was voter fraud like Trump said? You know, what this proves is that Donald Trump just said anything he wanted to say. He said things that were not based on the truth. He's not talking about the election being rigged now. He's not talking about voter fraud, but he was yesterday and the day before yesterday and the day before that. Donald Trump also made many promises during the campaign. He promised to end inflation immediately. He promised to close the border immediately. And I think that it's unrealistic to think that these and other promises are going to be fulfilled immediately. But Americans want instant gratification. And Americans believe candidates. And the idea that he's going to do this immediately. Yes, I'm voting for Trump because he's going to do this immediately. Nice campaign promises, but not that easy to manifest. Many of the things that Trump talked about during the campaign should create a sense of uneasiness within America. The idea that Trump will retaliate against those who disagreed with his opinions and his campaign. And the suggestion of using the military against the enemy from within. And Donald Trump was specific about names that he considered the enemy from within. Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Liz Cheney were a few names he mentioned. As I wrote in one of my blogs during the campaign, American politicians and American citizens who do not threaten the United States should never, ever be considered the enemy from within just because they disagree with somebody. Citizens have a right to disagree, even passionately disagree. And anybody who is running for office needs to realize that this disagreement is part of America. But disagreement is not worthy of being labeled the enemy from within. Will Donald Trump execute his promise to retaliate against his definition of the enemy from within? I hope not, but I don't think he's going to be able to get away with it, because we do have three branches of government that I hope will come into play here. And if he does try that, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he won't, but if he does try that, we will retaliate with our words. Will Donald Trump and his allies manifest the controversial Project 2025? The project was written for the moment Donald Trump became president, and that moment is here. Will abortion rights totally disappear? Will pornography be outlawed? Will the fundamental structure of federal government change and become all Trump-serving government, even the DOJ and the FBI? These are serious questions, and I believe we will begin to see Project 2025 become reality as soon as Trump is inaugurated in January of 2025. A lot of people said, oh, he's not part of that. Well, we'll see. And if he is part of it, what will you say then? If we do start to see Project 2025 become part of American government, it is a manifesto that fundamentally changes our government and almost sets up the idea of an autocratic president. So I wonder how Trump supporters will respond to that. Because under Project 2025, you may be losing some rights that you thought you'd never lose. But the election is finally over, and there is no controversy over who won. And I accept the result, and we all should. So let's try to unite in a way that reflects the image of our founding fathers and the image that they had of this country. Let's try to unite in that way. There are differences, but let's try to unite. That will not only be good, it would be great for America. The problem is uniting is not going to be easy for some people. because a lot of people enjoyed the divide. They enjoyed the competition. They actually enjoyed the hate. But it's time to put the stressful and damaging debate behind us and start thinking and acting like the United States of America. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. A lot to talk about today. We're going to get to some of your texts and some of your phone calls coming up. And if you have been on hold, we appreciate that. And just hang on. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1970, there was a newly formed band. They'd just gotten together. They're from the Boston area. They'd just gotten together, and they played their very first gig at a high school. On this day in 1970, that band was Aerosmith. And within 2 years, they had their self-titled debut album. I'm Scoot on the Air. It's the day after the election. We are live from Bonneville Bank. The grand opening ribbon-cutting ceremony going on today at 2000 Belchase Highway in Greta. And we'll be right back on WWL. So we've had money on our mind all afternoon here. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we are live from Bonneville Bank. They've been around Louisiana for a long time. New name change, a new innovative attitude. And Jason Smith is the president and CEO of Bonneville Bank. Thank you for having us out here. You guys have been awesome, Jason.
Oh, you guys have been great to be here. We've had a lot of good folks come out, a lot of good turnout. I was can't say that I was surprised, but just a lot of good folks come wishing us well and watching us cut that ribbon.
So is this a dream come true for you? You're president and CEO of a bank.
You know, we have a lot of dreams when we're presidents of banks, but to come down here, to have the reception that we've had from the greater New Orleans area, and then now to have this opportunity to open up on the West Bank, it really is. Our goal is to be Louisiana's community bank, and this is just the next step in that mission.
But when you were a kid, did you have fantasies about ledgers? And, is this something you wanted to do when you were a kid?
You know, when I was a kid, I was probably like everybody else. I wanted to be a professional athlete or a coach, so that was about it. But, banking has been a great opportunity for me. I've been with the company for over 30 years, and our vision and mission to like I said, be Louisiana Community Bank has really been a passion of mine for the last 7, 8, 10 years.
So, Jason, this afternoon I've been talking a lot about Bonneville Bank and that, you know, people have been with their bank for a long time. And even if you just have a checking account, savings account, or you know, businesses that have been with the same bank for a long time, sometimes banks take you for granted. And I've been inviting people to check out Bonneville Bank because it seems like with this name change, you have a really positive, passionate new attitude toward serving the community and toward new customers and new businesses coming along.
You couldn't be more correct with that idea. We realized some time ago that we can only be as successful as the communities that we serve. And so our desire is to get people excited about the community, get people excited about the better we do, the better we can reinvest in the community, and then that makes the community that much better. So if you're passionate about the success of your community and you're looking for somebody that's just as passionate as you are, then Bonneville Bank's the place for you.
So, Jason, give me an example. We hear the term community banking. Give me an example of community banking.
Community banking is not having to call 1-800-WHO-CARES. And we joke about that some, but all of our bankers, whether it's here on the West Bank or at on Veterans Boulevard, we're here to work with you because the time that you realize you need a bank is when something didn't go exactly right. When everything's rocking along and you don't have any problems, then it really doesn't matter if you don't have to call 1-800-WHO-CARES. But for us to be able to come in, sit across the desk from someone, explain what the challenge is, explain what the opportunity is, and then have our bankers fill that gap is what community banking is all about.
Because there's a lot of competition out there. You know, there's the big giant banks, and then there are smaller banks as well. And I think one of the things that you really can do is provide that sense of linking with the community. And, you know, as somebody who deals with a bank, I don't know that I get a special attention from my bank right now. And, this might be a good bank for me and a lot of other people who just have a checking and savings account.
Well, we've got your signature cards ready, so when we get off the air, we'll be glad to go ahead and get you signed up. But I use Gretna Fest as an example. Terry Tucker is one of our bankers, and she's been so involved in Gretna Fest and sustaining it, and that's exactly where we fit in, because that's just one of many important things that are going on in this community that we can be a part of, that we can make better, and it's that rising tide lifting all boat mentality.
A few years ago, I was talking earlier about some of the banks that, you know, you never thought these banks would fall apart, but they did. So tell us about Bonneville Bank. bank, you pay attention to the things that they were not paying attention to.
Look, we've been here 40 years, and we have seen our set of struggles in the economy. We've seen highs, we've seen lows, and we always approach our approach to banking has always been let's be conservative. We want to be helpful. We want to be an integral part of the community, but there's just risk out there that we don't necessarily need to take, and so we try to steer clear of those. So in 40 years, you know we've had some of those economic challenges, but we're always mindful of doing the right things right in the right way, and then that'll pay off over time.
Let's say there's somebody out there with an idea for a business. Would you encourage them to come talk to you?
Absolutely. I think your banker, if you don't have a banker, come and sit down and just flesh the idea out. We want to hear what your passion is. There's all sorts of opportunities, whether it's direct lending or SBA lending. There's all sorts of opportunities to get businesses off the ground. And we've heard an awful lot that small business is what drives the economy, and that's true in Louisiana. It's true across the state. And so anytime somebody has an idea that they want to run through and get an idea about what's the best next step, then their banker or their Bonvenue banker is a great place to come.
And Jason, you would have information about small banking loans and things?
Oh, absolutely. We've got Shane Purvis is a Small Business Administration lending specialist that we have, and he does an awful lot of work consulting with. And, you know, some of the best applications that come around never get made because we don't want to put somebody in a position to fail. We want them to be set up to have the best opportunity possible to succeed. And if they're not ready, then we want to help them get to that conclusion that they're not ready. But if they are, then we want to get in behind them and we want to help them work their dream and see it through to success.
I wish you the best of luck, and thank you for having us be part of this ribbon-cutting grand opening ceremony of the new Bonvenue Bank at Belchase Highway in Gretna. This is a great new addition here, and you have locations in Mandeville and Baton Rouge and Metairie. And it's fun for me to see the excitement of this new bank, and I hope I can translate this to our listeners that, you know, if you've got a checking account or savings account, if you've got a small business, you know, this might be a great opportunity for you to, you know, consider opening up an account with a new bank that's going to treat you with maybe some new ideas and with service that you're not getting from your current bank.
And my request of them, if they have a need, if they just give us a chance, we'll earn their business and we'll make them proud.
I like hearing that. All right, Jason Smith is President and CEO of Bonvenue Bank. Thank you for having us out here.
All right, thank you all very much.
Okay.
Have a great rest of your day.
All right, I'm Scoot on the air. We continue to react to the election. Let's go to Billy Uptown. Billy, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Scoot. I hope the bank does great. They sound like a good group of people, but I want to get back a little to the election also.
Sure.
One of the things that you just brought up, I've been going around and listening to a few commentators today, and you just a few minutes ago brought up racism and the fact that Kamala was a woman. That had nothing to do with this election. Did you see the number of people that were involved, man? I listened to you for maybe a year and a half tell me almost every day that the base could not get him elected. And the base did get him elected. There were obviously a lot more to his base than you thought there were. Today the stock market's up 1,500 points. That certainly didn't have anything to do with Biden. You haven't commented on that, but you've continued most of the day when you weren't talking about the bank to bash Trump. And I just think that's crazy. The Democrats did not get out for the vote. I was afraid that the base and the Trumpsters were not going to get out, but I was wrong. They all got out, and that's what happened. The Democrats did not. And
yeah. Well, Billy, I'm really glad that we gave you a chance to express your opinion. But I have not been bashing Trump this afternoon, and I'm sorry that you're in some way so bitter I told you so. You have that mentality, but I have not been bashing Trump at all this afternoon, and all I've done is talk about accepting the voice of the people. I was accurate when I said Trump's base is not big enough to elect him. You're wrong in thinking that his base turned out. His base turned out, but it was not just his base. It was a lot of other people. And in our conversation, you just talked about how Democrats did not get out and vote. and maybe some of them didn't. But you also distinguished between his base and Republicans who voted. So you contradicted yourself. Now, Donald Trump's base is not big enough to elect him. Donald Trump needed other people, and other people voted for him. And I talked about the Latino vote, I talked about the African-American vote, and I talked about the youth vote. And those were three powerful groups that helped elect him. The numbers of MAGAites in America are not big enough to elect him, and that still stands. But a lot of other people voted for Trump, and there were a lot of reasons. And I did not blame Kamala Harris for losing because she is a black female or a female of color. What I said was, I can't help but bring that up as a possibility because I know America in general. I've been in this country a long damn time since my inception, and I pay attention. I've been doing radio for a long time, and I pay attention. And there are people in this country who are racist. There are people in this country who are sexist, and they'll never admit it, but they can't see a woman, particularly a woman of color, being in the White House. And there were people who disagreed with Obama because of his policies. There were people who disagreed with Obama because he was an African-American, half white, half African-American. I get it. So I'm glad we gave you a chance to talk, but that doesn't mean you were right. And I have not been bashing Trump this afternoon, and I don't want to allow you to give anybody that impression. Gregory's in Metairie. Gregory, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Thank you. Thank you for being so good today. You know, I got to give you credit. You have not bashed Trump one time. I've been listening to the first minute of the show. You haven't done that.
Thanks.
I would like to say that a lot of people I didn't expect to vote voted, and while I'm happy that my vote counted, I'm going to be like you. I'm going to give him not only 100 days, I'm going to give him like the first year, maybe 2 years, because, you know, the last year and a half of his presidency, he's a lame duck, and he has to perform. He has to prove to the American people that he deserved all of our votes. I'm sorry that I voted for Trump. I know you're going to hate me for that, but that's okay.
I don't hate you for that. And I constantly said during the whole campaign that I never told anybody not to vote for Trump.
I know
ever.
That's good. I know that's good. Come on, man. I was just kind of kidding on that one.
All right. Okay.
But
I don't hate you for
that.
I hate you for other things. I hate you for other stuff, Gregory, but not for that. No, I'm kidding.
You do?
No, I'm kidding. I don't hate you.
Okay. I was just going to say, from one bombastic guy, like you claim I'm bombastic sometimes, I'm glad the bombastic guy won. And I think it's really commendable for you to have the attitude you've had all day. I mean, it's just incredible. And you've had some wacko callers that like, I would never be that caller. I mean, I've been a participant in your show for years now. I mean, I don't know how many years it's been. I think this is my 350th call. I should get like some kind of like.
Really? There should be some kind of like golden microphone, a golden phone that you get. Well, Gregory, I appreciate it. Like, I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate you setting the record straight that I have not bashed Trump. And when a caller like Billy calls in, I'm not going to let them get away with saying something that's not true. But there are people who are, for whatever reason, bitter and angry, and they don't really listen. They don't want to hear answers. They don't want to hear a conversation. They've already predetermined how they feel about something, and nothing is going to change their mind. And I have been very very open this afternoon. I am a patriotic American. I accept that America spoke. I accept the results of the election. And now it's my job in the media to be honest about Trump. And if, for example, Trump blunders in some way, it's fair to talk about that. In the same way that if Kamala Harris won, people would talk about that. So, you know, this is all that we do in America. We, you know, we talk about politics. It's part of the game of politics. So, we'll see what Trump does. And I will give him the benefit of the doubt. And no, I'm not going to hold him to 100 days. But I'll also caution you that Donald Trump is not going to be able to do things as immediately as he implied during the campaign. There might be a few things he can do immediately, but that border is not going to be cleared up immediately. I mean, don't get any false impressions about that. Illegal immigrants are going to be a problem for a very, very long time. Is the deportation going to be bloody? Donald Trump suggested it might be. I mean, I hope it's not. And I'm going to disagree with some of the people he wants to deport. But this is America. We're entitled to our opinions. But I accept the results of the election. All right. If you have a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And as I said all along during the campaign, no matter who wins, we as a nation are going to survive this. I'm Scoot on the air on WWL. Hey, you know, it might not be that easy, but, you know, I'm going to continue to pull for a unity right now after the election. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad the election was convincing enough to where there's no contesting the election. As far as we know, it was a fair and free election, and we knew it was going to be, regardless of what Trump said before the election. We knew it was going to be a fair election, and indeed it was. And Trump won. He won by a convincing margin, and Trump is the president of the United States, and I congratulate him, and I accept that. And we will continue to follow Trump and talk about all of the issues over the next 4 years. I'm Scoot on the air. Coming up, going into this break, I'm going to play the song that was the first release from Michael Jackson's Thriller album. On this day in 1982, the first single was released from Thriller. Do you remember what the first release was? You know, when I first was asked this, I got it wrong. And so we're going to play that song going into the first break. I think you might be surprised. All right, let's go to Charles on the West Bank. Charles, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoots, how are you? Thank you for answering me.
Sure, Charles.
Picking me up. Listen, I just want to say a couple things. You're right. Okay. I think it's a free and fair election. It isn't the person that I wanted to win, but it is free and fair, and I'm grateful for that. But I want to say this. I just kind of want you to tell me, what do you think is happening in this country? If Kamala Harris had 34 convictions, she was convicted and by a 12-member panel that she owed somebody $5 million for molesting them, and that she said all kinds of things about Donald Trump, that he was a B, he was a H, he was dumb, he was stupid, and all these things, and that the media was absolutely just criminal. They wasn't even saying the right things, and they were really wrong, and so on and so forth, and that he had this list of people that he wanted to go after, she wanted to go after, and so on and so forth. Do you think, not only did she lose now, I know she lost fair, but do you think she would even have a chance to even become a person that would run for president of the United States of America?
No. Charles, I think when those things happened to Donald Trump, this was, you know, later in our life with Donald Trump. These things happened later in our relationship with Donald Trump as a country. Most people, not all, but most people had already invested in him. They'd already anointed him. They'd already come down so much in favor of Donald Trump that they didn't want to be wrong. And they let those things go because they didn't want to admit that they were wrong about him in any way. So they pushed all those kinds of things aside, all the things that he did, all the things that happened. They let all of that go because they wanted to continue to believe that they were right. And a lot of people don't want to admit to themselves that they made a mistake or that they're wrong about anything. Then there are people who just generally love him to the point where those things didn't matter, but if it was somebody else, those things would have mattered. I think there were some African-American men who could relate to the prosecution of Donald Trump, which he said was unfair, because they feel like, as a community, they have been unfairly prosecuted. So I think there's a lot going on, and I think over the next couple of months on this show, we will sort of analyze where America is and talk more about that. Because, you know, I'm not totally sure I understand where America is, but I think over the next couple of months, as we talk about this, it's going to be more obvious what statement was made by the victory of Donald Trump. And it was clearly a statement in lieu of all of those things, all of those unorthodox things that happen. Let's go to Egan with a couple of your quick text messages.
Yeah, I'll try and close out quick. Here's one that just says, congratulations to the WWL staff that handled the election on the radio last night. Great job. Now, why did Trump win? The economy first and next, national security and crime. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I think the economy was a big deal. I think even bigger than that was the border. Joe Biden failed with the border, and Kamala Harris did not divorce herself from Joe Biden, and she seemed weak in that way, and so she owned everything that Joe Biden did, and that was one of her big failures. And that was a campaign issue that the Democrats gave to the Republicans.
Here's a text that says, can't it be that she didn't get elected because she's in no way qualified, and not enough people, even Democrats, thought that we'd be better off? She had no plan for the country to correct the state that we're in.
Well, Donald Trump was a businessman when he was elected. Was he really qualified? I mean, he talked about plans, but, did he really have plans? So I don't know that that's the reason, but she did appear weak on the campaign trail and refused to answer questions. And so that's a lot of what happened with Donald Trump winning. But Donald Trump deserves credit for the victory.
I would say there's two things about this that stand out to me. Like, A, yes, I think it's hard to disagree that Kamala Harris didn't have enough policy prescriptions that stood out that she could point to and that the media could cover and that voters could connect with. You have to also consider the vast right-wing noise machine that is designed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to bury that message, whatever it is. And this is where the complicity and the ineptitude of legacy media, your big CNN, ABC, CBS, it must be said, they can't help themselves with that. They're not there to do that for Kamala Harris. So they're kind of sitting on their hands in that regard. And that's why people have no idea what she stands for, because there's people shouting in your face that she doesn't stand for anything. And the people that know better have no agency in the matter. And I'll leave you with this one. And go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. We're pretty short here, so I go fast. This one just says, Kamala Harris still has a shot at being president, at least for a little while. Joe Biden can resign, and she'll make history as the first female United States president.
Wow. It would be interesting if that happened. I don't really see that happening. All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. All right, here is the first single that was released from the Thriller album. It happened on this day in 1982. Remember this song? Michael Jackson did it with Paul McCartney. I thought Billie Jean would have been the first release from the album Thriller, but it was actually this song, This Girl Is Mine, Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. Remember this? Personally, this was one of the weaker songs, in my opinion, on the album. But, doing something with Paul McCartney was kind of cool. So, again, first release from Thriller was This Girl Is Mine. We'll be right back. We will dedicate this song to all of the Trump supporters who have to be really, really happy today. I don't know if we're going to get to the best part of this because we're kind of running out of time, but this is a Celebrate by Three Dog Night. All right, I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, senior producer, Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, location tech, Luke Augusta, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. I want to thank everybody with Bonvenue Bank. They have just been incredible. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. Sports Talk is next. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.